Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named best radio show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, as always, it is wonderful to be with you, and I want to know, how was your New Year's Eve celebration?
It's wonderful to be with you, too. Our New Year's celebration was pretty quiet. You know, the weather was nasty, so we all sat inside by the fire and played board games. How about you guys?
I love that board game thing. We played Bananagrams the other night, and we just had a great time with it. I like word games. They're kind of fun for me. As an editor, I kind of enjoy playing stuff like that. Let's outline what we're going to talk about, Chris, because there's big news going on at the beginning of the new year, the beginning of 2025. Two major global automakers with big footprints in the United States have entered into talks to combine their efforts going forward. It's really earth-shattering news in the auto industry, and we'll have the details for you in our comments. A new year has begun, and it's time to make New Year's resolutions. And one resolution we all should make is to drive more safely this year. We have some tips from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration that can help, so listen up for those. Hyundai has just set one of the most esoteric automotive records ever, and we'll tell you all about it. It's just a kind of a crazy record. Why is it even a record? And we'll have a quick look at one of the best luxury sedans I drove in 2024, the 2025 Genesis G80. I bet Chris had some good times in that vehicle, too. Chris, this cooperative agreement between these two giant companies is a very big deal, isn't it?
It is, and I'm a little puzzled by some of the details, but we can get into that in just a little bit.
Yeah. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners of the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, and how you can have some fun with your cars. And what is your road test vehicle this week, Chris?
I spent the week behind the wheel of what might be my new favorite midsize pickup truck, the 2025 Ford Ranger.
It really is a good one, isn't it? As I said, my test car this week, did I say? Maybe I didn't. But it is the 2025 Volkswagen Pro S Plus 4Motion, the Volkswagen Buzz. We have a terrific guest for you. Brian Janish is an expert on the Nissan GTR. We have tons of show for you this week. We're so glad you're with us. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here. America on the Road.
IBM has entered into a multi-year agreement to become the official fan engagement and data analytics partner of Scuderia Ferrari HP, the most renowned Formula One team, starting in 2025. The partnership brings together two iconic and enduring brands, both driven by a passion for innovation and commitment to progress. IBM and Scuderia Ferrari HP will conceive, develop, and deliver world-class digital experiences to bring racing enthusiasts closer than ever to the racing team, bringing marquee events to life for millions of fans around the world. Sponsored by IBM.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Joe Montana here. In my football days, I knew the importance of a strong defense. Now I'm sharing how you can help defend your health against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease. Are you 50 or older like me? The CDC now recommends vaccination against pneumococcal disease. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at increased risk and over 6 times greater risk of hospitalization with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50. Schedule your appointment today at VaxAssist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built, providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill. Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1-5-25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris T. With you. And it is news time on America on the Road. We're starting a new year, and we're starting a new year with big news. I mean, Nissan and Honda have signed a Memorandum of Understanding, an MOU, to explore a potential business integration and a joint holding company. It's big, big stuff. This collaboration aims to accelerate efforts toward carbon neutrality, according to them. I think it's also to extend the fortunes of both of those companies. Nissan in particular has been having some pretty serious difficulties here. They're going to apparently share platforms, a bunch of commonality here. This is a kind of a shock, isn't it, Chris?
It is. And, you know, honestly, I've been puzzling over this, like I mentioned earlier, is what Honda could be getting out of this deal. I mean, it's not the leading automaker in the country, but it certainly isn't in Nissan's position. I could see Honda getting some EV technology and maybe a truck out of the deal, but I've been wondering what their motivation is here.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's and I used to work for a Japanese company. Back in the day, I worked for Mazda. And it's kind of interesting what the Japanese companies do and what the Japanese do. I mean, they kind of collaborate when one of them seems threatened. There was a time when Mazda looked like it was on the edge. There have been plenty of times when it looked like Nissan was on the edge, frankly, edge of going away. And they kind of get together, you know, I don't know how it exactly happens, whether the government steps in and says, hey, why don't you guys get together and do something? But this collaboration, I think, is designed to prop up Nissan, which would be a big loss to the Japanese auto industry were it to go under. And I think that's the big deal here.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the interesting part of this beyond the merger and the reasoning behind it is that Nissan is already in this alliance with Mitsubishi and Renault. And there's been talk of Foxconn, the smartphone maker, wanting to take over Renault's stake in Nissan. So there are a lot of moving parts here, Jack. I think it'll be really interesting to see what the company looks like or what a combined company looks like when the dust settles.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, too, I mean, this whole deal of involving Honda in this, Honda seemed like kind of a disinterested outsider to all of this up till now. And so the fact that, you know, these are being shoved together in what might be kind of a shotgun wedding is really an interesting take. And you have Honda, which is doing, I think, fairly well. I think it actually does probably better in the United States than it does in Japan and some other markets. But and Nissan is struggling, as we know, kind of worldwide. It'll be interesting to see how this goes forward and what this does to the product plans.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the good news here, if this goes forward, is that Nissan has a chance to survive, a real fighting chance, you know, a little bit more than they do right now. And as you mentioned earlier, they've been on the slide for a while now. Their dealers aren't happy. The customers aren't happy. So I hope it works out for Nissan, because as I always say, you know, more choice is better. And I like Nissan. So
yeah, there's a lot of Nissan vehicles that I really like. And, you know, you mentioned one of them, the Frontier pickup truck. I think it's a particularly good vehicle. And a competitor to a vehicle I think you're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's talk about 2025. Of course, it's a time for New Year's resolutions, many of which we ditch within a couple of weeks, apparently. I think they're saying, what, like the Friday, the second Friday in the month is the time where everybody just kind of says no to their resolutions that they've made. But we'll see how that happens. But in any case, it would be a very good thing to drive more safely during 2025. So here's some safety tips. Feel free to chip in and comment on these. I think number one tip, of course, is always buckle up. You know, use your seatbelt. It's amazing how many people don't use their seatbelts still. And this is the one thing you can do above all others to protect yourself.
Yeah, and it's against the law not to, unless you're in New Hampshire. So, you know, I don't know. I think seatbelts, you know, the dings in the cars are one thing, but you know, when you really think about it, it's one of the most primary safety features in your vehicle. So, and it's very easy to use. So keep it on.
Right. Here's another one, and this is probably dear to your heart and dear to my heart back in the day. It is choose the correct car seat for your children, install it correctly, and then transition them to seatbelts only when they're large enough to use seatbelts and ride in a regular seat. I mean, you have, I think, fairly old young kids, if that isn't a weird oxymoron there. But I think, well, you tell me what's going on with them and seatbelts. And
yeah, one of the things I focused on when they were younger, they're 12 and 8 years old now, but one of the things I focused on when they were younger was installing the car seats properly. You know, I switch cars every week, so I'm taking the car seats out and putting them in. And it's not hard to do, but, you know, you follow your directions. Many local fire departments, even volunteer fire departments, have programs where they teach you how to put the seats in and do it properly. And now that my older daughter is out of booster seats altogether, my younger daughter remains in a booster seat. We're still very careful with positioning and things like that. So it's easy to do. It just takes a minute, you know, a minute out of your day. So it's well worth the time.
Right. Well, and here's something that kind of relates to maybe what we saw a little earlier in the week, and that is commit to driving sober and avoiding distractions. I mean, both of those things. I mean, when you're distracted, it is essentially like being drunk. And being drunk or on drugs of some sort, and we're seeing more and more of that, people behind the wheel. I mean, those are just tragically bad ideas.
Yeah, you know, we complain about screens inside vehicles sometimes, but the reality is that they're there to keep you off your phone and give you some convenience without having to take your eyes off the road in some cases. So make use of those features. And frankly, there's no excuse for driving drunk or under the influence. So I'm not going to give you any tips there. Just don't do it.
Right. Here's some more. Never drive drowsy. That's another thing that's like being distracted or being drunk. If you're tired, or maybe you're taking like a cold medication or something like that, and you're a little drowsy, that can impair your ability to drive. And then you have to be aware of motorcyclists, bicyclists, and pedestrians. They're all over the place. They're where you might not expect them to be. And it's kind of critical that you pay attention to that.
Yeah, just a moment of double checking can save someone's life and keep you out of trouble and maybe stop you from damaging your vehicle. So I'd say take the time to do that.
Right. Well, let's talk about this Hyundai Guinness Book of World Records record, an historic achievement by the Hyundai Ioniq 5, kind of amusing to me more than anything. This is a standard production vehicle that was driven across India about 4,900 kilometers. I think that's like 0.62 times 4,900. And if I could do math, that's the number of miles. It also had an altitude change of something like 5,800 meters. So that's about, what, 15,000, 20,000 feet, something like that. What is interesting to me, Chris, is this expedition began in Umling La in Ladakh, which, of course, is the world's highest drivable point above sea level, almost 5,800 meters above sea level, and then concluded below sea level. So basically, they kind of drove downhill all the way. I mean, I'm wondering about this. It's like, like a weird thing to
me. You know, I was a little questioning this when you mentioned it to me earlier that we were going to be talking about it. You know, it seems like a little bit of a silly record or a silly thing to do, but I can see Hyundai doing this to kind of demonstrate how robust the vehicle is, that it actually, you know, can travel the range or at least close to the range that they say it will, and that it can manage with the charging network in India, which I have no idea whether it's robust or not, but I assume in rural areas it's a lot like it is here where, you know, you go a little ways and hope you can find something when you show up. So, I mean, it could be a neat thing. I do think that, you know, some of these are just to get a press release out at the end of the year. So, you know, you have to kind of take it with the understanding of that.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, good for them for setting a world record. I want to say a few things about this Genesis G80 Sport Prestige that I was driving, because I think it's one of the best luxury sedans I've driven all year. And I'm wondering about your take on this vehicle.
I enjoy the G80. I think that, you know, we've talked about Genesis' ability to combine value and luxury and styling. And the G80 really does feel like a flagship sedan. It's cheaper than the BMW 7 Series, the Mercedes S-Class. And you get a lot of the same compelling features. You know, we talked about some of the large cars that don't push the envelope and feel special. But I think that Genesis has done a good job of giving the G80 enough of that sort of specialness to make it worth the price.
Yeah, and the price, I think, is pretty compelling, too. I think around $70,000 or so, much less expensive than some of the competitors from Germany, for example. So I think it's absolutely worth a look. And I, you know, I wanted to give it a little shout out at the beginning of the year because I've driven it recently. So I like the vehicle very much. And when we come back, we'll be doing some pretty serious road testing. In fact, Chris is going to road test the Ford Ranger pickup truck. And I'll be road testing the 2025 Volkswagen ID Buzz, a rolling parade. So stay with us for that. And we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jackie Redback with you. We're so glad you're with us on America on the Road for another year of America on the Road. I guess our 32nd year. It's kind of crazy that we've been
When I was 9 years old, Jack.
Yeah, I started before I was born. I started when you were 30 or something. No, I'm kidding. But in any case, we have road test vehicles and pretty cool ones, too. A Ford Ranger pickup truck is quite a competitor. And it might well be the North American Truck of the Year. We will find out in about 10 days' time or something like that. But Chris, you were driving it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I spent the week behind the wheel of the 2025 Ford Ranger. Jack, you know, I always like talking about the Ranger because of how it was sold in the United States for a long period of time and then went away for a decent chunk of time, came back in 2019 as the version that other markets had been seeing in other countries. And now we have a new truck in 2025, which also debuted elsewhere before we got it. But Ford offers three trims of the truck beyond the Raptor, which is new for the model year. I tested the Lariat model, which is the top of the normal lineup of the Ranger. You can get into this truck for a little bit under $35,000, which is not too bad. My truck was a little bit over $46,000 with options, so still not too bad, a lot cheaper than a full-size truck. Jack, before I go further, have you driven the redesigned Ranger?
Yeah, absolutely. I have. I drove it for North American Car of the Year testing. I think I was on the launch, too. And very, very impressed with this vehicle. I mean, I've kind of always liked the Ranger, but, you know, maybe powertrain, it didn't quite get there. And I think they've added a more powerful engine to the lineup. So I think that helps a lot. I think they've done a lot of good things with this vehicle. And, you know, I think it's terrific. Great interior as well.
I agree. The base engine, as you mentioned, is a carryover from the year before. It's a 2.3-liter turbocharged four-cylinder inline four. It's an EcoBoost. 270 horsepower, 310 pound-feet of torque. The new engine for this model year is the one that I had. It's a 2.7-liter turbocharged V6. It's also an EcoBoost. It makes 315 horsepower, 400 pound-feet of torque, and pairs with a 10-speed automatic transmission and four-wheel drive. Jack, one of the things that I didn't love about the previous Ranger, as you mentioned, was the four-cylinder engine. 270 horsepower, 310 pound-feet of torque are not bad numbers on paper, but that always felt a little bit strained. It was loud, coarse, and a little bit unrefined. So, you know, in a small truck like the Ranger, it doesn't have a lot of sound deadening. There's not a lot of luxury features in there. So you're kind of living with the engine sound and vibration at all times. The 2.7-liter V6 is significantly more refined. You get 40 more horsepower, roundabout there, 45, which you feel under your right foot at all times. And it's more refined, as I mentioned. So it's quieter, it's smoother. The power delivery is more predictable. And you don't feel like you're straining to get to highway speeds when you're towing. I actually got to tow a light trailer the other day, and so, you know, it does feel more capable and more refined. Four-wheel drive is available for this truck. I had a four-wheel drive equipped truck. Otherwise, you get rear-wheel drive. You know, I think that even without the Raptor, which gets more ground clearance, you get upgraded suspension and all those things. Jack, you mentioned the interior is much improved. You still get five seats in a crew cab configuration only. Cloth upholstery comes standard. My Lariat test trim had leather upholstery. Heated steering wheel and heated seats. Jack, I thought the redesign for 25 made it feel more ergonomic. It's more comfortable. Not a whole lot more spacious, but everything feels more composed and a little bit better thought through. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the ergonomics are better, which means the buttons and knobs and all that stuff work a little better than before. It looks more upscale, too. I think they've kind of upped the interior look a little bit, and that's helpful.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that some of these trucks, you know, the Tacoma, the old Tacoma, I haven't driven the new one, the Frontier also suffers from this, is sort of a lack of second row leg room because it's kind of an upright cab shape. We didn't really experience that here. You know, we talk about my height. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm going to bring it up now. We haven't talked about that in a while. My wife sat behind me and she's a little bit over 5 feet tall, had no issues at all. I think if you had three tall adults in the second row, then you would have some struggles there. People might feel a little cramped, but overall, I think you could buy this truck for a family of four and live with it pretty comfortably without too many sacrifices. Tech is one of my favorite parts of Ford's any vehicle that Ford makes. And so the Ranger comes standard with a 10-inch touchscreen and an 8-inch digital gauge cluster. My Lariat trim had a 12-inch vertically oriented touchscreen, so it's a portrait, and a 12-inch digital gauge cluster. You get Sync 4 infotainment software here. Very responsive, packed with features. And the big screen looks great, though I do I will take a minute to complain about having all the features combined into one screen. It does make it feel a little complicated. And you do get some safety features here, too. The Lariat comes with blind spot monitoring, forward collision alerts, automatic emergency braking, and the like. So for $45,000 here, Jack, I think this is more than enough truck for most people. You can tow, you have four-wheel drive, you have a good-sized bed and enough interior space. So I think unless you need a full-size, this is a fantastic option.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very good choice, a terrific one. And like I say, it might be North American Truck of the Year. We'll see very soon. Well, I was driving a vehicle that essentially is a rolling parade. It's a one-vehicle parade. I mean, when you are in the Volkswagen ID. Buzz, which is the reimagined microbus of old for the electric era, you're driving in a vehicle that's going to attract a ton of attention. This is a vehicle that I would love to love, and I will tell you whether I loved it or not as we go through this, because there's some things about it I loved and some things maybe not so much. But certainly, from the looks point of view, it just has... But there's a lot of details on this vehicle. I love the two-tone paint, of course. It's very retro, has retro-inspired wheels. But there are other cool things about it that I think cost money, that you would see on a concept vehicle but would go away from most production vehicles. Well, it's right here on the ID. Buzz, so kudos to Volkswagen for that. I had a 1968 Type 2, what they called early bay bus. So I'm going to compare and contrast this a little bit with what I just drove. The current ID. Buzz has a minimum of 282 horsepower. Those are in the rear drive models. 335 horsepower in four-motion all-wheel drive. Estimated electric-only range, of course, it's an electric vehicle, so it's all electric-only, is 234 or 231 miles, respectively, so just about the same. Listen to the figures on this, Chris. I think you'll get a kick out of this. This Type 2 vehicle that I used to drive, I drove it back and forth to college when I was a college student, had a 1600cc engine, 57 horsepower, Chris, 57 horsepower. And here are the statistics on 0 to 60. 0 to 60, 37 seconds. 37 seconds, Chris, not 3.7. 37. Top speed, 65 miles an hour. Now, I bested that when the wind was behind me. I think I got this thing up to 70 miles. And it literally was a vehicle that the wind made a big difference with. I mean, I kind of felt like I was in a sailboat. And as a sailor, I kind of got a kick out of that. Well, let's get back to the ID. Buzz. Charging is efficient. DC fast charging from 10 to 80% in just 26 minutes. So that's competitive. Big customizable interior, 145 cubic feet of cargo space. Flexible seating for as many as seven. Usually it's a six-passenger vehicle, which I find is not the greatest use of space. It has a big infotainment screen that works pretty well, 12.9-inch infotainment screen, and a bunch of driver assistance systems. Pricing starts at about $60,000 for the Pro S. My test vehicle, let's dive into that a little bit. It was a Buzz Pro S Plus 4Motion, so kind of top of the line. It had 335 horsepower, as I mentioned, a 91 kilowatt hour battery, so about 230 miles of range. It will tow 3,500 pounds, which is kind of interesting. And it had the two-tone exterior that was, of course, inspired by the VW bus with retro wheels. I mean, what's your take on this overall, Chris? What's your take on the ID. Buzz?
Well, the look is staggering. I think it looks fantastic. They did a great job translating from the Type 2 or the classic styling into the modern age. For me, I have three big thoughts about this. The first is that I'm sure it's very useful. Volkswagen does a great job at adding, you know, clever features that people don't think they need, but they realize that they're very useful. I think the range is lacking and the price is too high. And, you know, you could say, well, it's a luxury van or an upscale van, but $70,000 for a Volkswagen just won't cut it for a lot of people. And even me knowing what the van can do, it's a little steep.
Well, you kind of cut through the chaff here because that's kind of it. I mean, it's not really a minivan. It's more of an SUV competitor, I think, than it is a minivan competitor because it's not nearly as useful as most minivans. You know, I love the looks of it. What is interesting about the design is it captures a lot of what the previous microbuses had. But one thing that is very different is you sit well behind, as a driver, you sit well behind the front wheels. In the Type 2 that I had, I was literally sitting right over the front wheels. I mean, I was ahead of the front wheels. My legs were ahead of the front wheels. And that has some interesting results to it. This has a wheelbase of 131.1 inches, Chris. I mean, the wheels are at the corners. This is not that long a vehicle because it's not that much longer than that. But that's an incredible wheelbase, and what that means is the turning radius is gigantic. It's like turning around a super tanker, and I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have to park that thing in a parking garage in downtown L.A., so I'll leave that to you.
Some weird things about it. I mean, it toggles, has these toggles between front and rear window switches as opposed to just dedicated switches for those kind of things. I was able to set the side view mirrors, the exterior mirrors, once, but I couldn't figure out how to do it again. I mean, there's some combination of toggling you have to go through. So this is a vehicle I would love to love, and mostly I did, and maybe it's one of those vehicles where you kind of put up with the fact that it's not exactly easy to use for the just the sheer joy of having a vehicle that looks this cool. $70,000 was my as-tested price, so that's a lot of money for this vehicle, I think. But, you know, this is a vehicle that puts a smile on everybody's face. It's fun to drive. There's a lot to like about it. So mostly I like this thing. It was kind of an interesting combination of wonderfulness and frustration.
Yeah, I think some of those quirks might be worth the price for some Volkswagen diehards. I'm sure they'll sell plenty of them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And a lot of people stopped me on the street and were wanting to talk to me about it. Well, when we come back, we will have a terrific guest for you. Brian Janish is an expert on the Nissan GT-R, so we'll be talking with him about that when we come back. Stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
IBM will become the official global partner of UFC, the world's premier mixed martial arts organization. Together, IBM and UFC are pioneering a product to revolutionize analytics and information in live sports. This includes unique insights and advanced analysis of live bouts, fighter tendencies, projections of possible outcomes, and method of victory, all of which will be engineered to update in real-time on-screen data. This partnership marks a pivotal win, not only for UFC and IBM, but also for fans around the world who will experience the sport in a whole new way. Sponsored by IBM.
The season of savings is here at Office Depot Office Max. Shop amazing deals on everything you need to close out the year and start 2025 strong. Save now with new deals every day online and new weekly sales online and in stores every Sunday. The more deals, the merrier. Plus, save on those must-have gifts, essential supplies, organizational tools, desks, chairs, PCs, printers, and more. Add a personal touch to any present with Hallmark's iconic collection of greeting cards, ornaments, stationery, and gift wrap to create memorable moments. Available in your local Office Depot Office Max retail stores. Or create your own custom photo gifts, cards, and calendars for your teachers, coworkers, friends, and family. Then pack it and ship it all in one trip. Office Depot Office Max is your source for all the last-minute parties, presents, and thank yous you need. Tis the season to save. Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Ah, the holidays. A time to come together and reflect on what truly matters.
The KFC Festive Feast for $25.99.
Feel the joy
of 6 original recipe tenders and 6 pieces of hand-breaded chicken. family and friends celebrating.
Two large sides and three sauces.
The warmth of
11 herbs and spices.
Love. I was going to say love.
And KFC.
Okay. The KFC Festive Feast. Order ahead on the app and feast for just $25.99. Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra. Online ordering available at participating locations.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you. We have a terrific guest for you. I love talking with guys who are just so enthusiastic about cars, and Brian Janisch is exactly that. I mean, you do a lot of vehicle restoration. You're very enthusiastic about a wide variety of cars, but most particularly the Nissan GT-R. Thanks so much for being with us, number one. How'd you get into this? You know, what drew you to cars and the GT-R specifically?
Yeah, thank you for having me. The GT-R is something that I actually didn't really see myself being something I was going to get as far into as I currently am now. But it kind of started when a friend of mine, I wanted to start a business importing cars to the U.S. And, you know, we were both pretty interested in that 90s era of Japanese cars. And of course, the Nissan GT-R being one of the pinnacles of that area. The R32 Skyline GT-R Nismo got approved for show or display. So even before that car turned 25 years old, we had a path to importing it here to the United States. So we started doing that under show or display, and eventually we're able to kind of grow and grow and grow the market here until we're at where we are today, which is pretty deep into the world of Skyline GTRs.
Tell us what's special about those to you, and what's special to the people who own and are enthusiastic about them.
Yeah, the Skyline GTR was an absolute dominant vehicle early in Japanese motorsports. Going all the way back to the 70s with the Hokosuka GTRs that were competing then. And where kind of things pick up for me is Group A racing with the R32 GTR. It was an absolute dominant car. It achieved its name Godzilla for its reputation of kind of winning every race that it entered. It went on to race in Australia, again, doing incredible work on circuits there in Bathurst. Really kind of deepening that reputation. And as it moves into the R33 GTR running at Le Mans, all the way to the R34 GTR, went on to be an incredible success racing in the GT500 series, one of the most iconic R34 GTRs or Skyline GTRs ever, really, is that Pennzoil livery R34 GTR, which went on to be kind of the car for games like Gran Turismo and Forza Horizon, where you can actually race that car. And it's really kind of that video game era brings us to kind of where we are today for people who maybe didn't get to watch that racing live in real time as it happened, but gets to play the cars in the video games. All of that kind of tied together really does make the racing history of the Skyline GTR a really, really special car for motorsport enthusiasts, but also for collectors who are out there looking for cars that have that kind of motorsport history.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people got excited about that particular car from video gaming, right? I mean, that was like the car to have when you were a racer in video games, and a lot of people were driving them before they even really drove them, right? Before they even land in the U.S.
Yeah, a lot of our customers do come from that era of saying, like, I really wanted, this was the car I played in the game. And it's not just the GTR, sometimes Supra, sometimes the NSXR, Integras. You got these cars in the game. You got to kind of build them and spec them out. But we didn't really have the car here in the United States to be able to do it in real life. And as soon as these cars started to get to the point of turning 25 years old, being able to come into the United States, now you can take it out of your video game garage, put it in your real garage, you know, and actually do some of those things that you did in the video game is a really cool experience for a lot of people.
Yeah. And the 25-year-old thing allows you to import them with less restrictions or maybe very few restrictions, right?
Correct. Yeah. Once a car is 25 years old, you know, it's exempt from emissions, which is EPA standards, and then FMVSS, so Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards. So from there, you can import the car, register it, drive it just like any other car. Some states do have some local emissions laws that you need to abide by. But outside of that, you can get the car in. So really, you know, starting when we started importing the R32s, eventually the R33 turned 25, so we could bring in the next generation. And now this year, the R34 GTR, which is maybe the one that most people are kind of after at this point, just turned 25 years old. So we're starting to see a lot of those show up here in the United States, both in our inventory and across collections, you know, throughout the United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've worked on other cars too, European performance cars as well. What's kind of special about the Japanese performance cars? Because they kind of have a personality of their own, don't they?
They do, yeah. So I think for Japanese performance cars, what most people are kind of looking for and are attracted to is one, they were never, most of them were not available here in the United States or weren't available in the specifications in which you're getting now. The Skyline GTR, for example, was never sold in the United States. There was no version of a GTR sold in the US until we got the R35 in 2008. So the Skyline GTR has had a lot of attraction that way. For other cars like the RX7, the Supra, the NSX, there's different variants and different specifications of cars that Japan got. That the U.S. wasn't able to get due to, you know, some of our safety and emissions restrictions here in the U.S. So you get these really collectible things like the RZ edition RX-7, which is the lightest weight one, you know, kind of ever built. You get an RZ Supra, which is an upgraded kind of version from what we have here in the United States. And of course, cars like the NSX-R, which is, you know, the absolute stripped down, most raw version of an NSX. You know, those kind of cars become ultra desirable just because they weren't here in the U.S.
What's going on with rotary engine cars? I have a little affinity for them because I worked for Mazda actually back in the 90s and had an RX-7 for a while as my company car.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, the RX-7 is a car that obviously has this beloved following. You know, the rotary engines are very unique. Even going back pre-RX-7 on some things, you have things like the Cosmo, which is a really, really cool car, a very early kind of car that sits alongside the Toyota GT and the Hokosuka. But coming forward to like the modern era of Mazda motorsports, if you'd call it, you have the RX-7, and there's some really cool stuff like the Spirit R, which was the last version of the RX-7 ever made. That's a model year 2002 car. So things like that are things, again, that we didn't get here in the U.S., the RZ, you know, the Bathurst, that kind of stuff are really, really cool cars that there's a lot of collectors that are just waiting for those to turn 25, or in some case, buying them now and storing them in Japan or in other countries until they're eligible for import to the U.S.
I got to believe that those present some maintenance and restoration challenges that a more conventional car don't present.
Yeah, I mean the RX-7. I mean, there's a lot of hesitation for people. You know, when it comes to purchasing an RX-7, just because there is a lot of rumor out there about them being a difficult car and a finicky car. But I think just like any other car, really from that generation, especially Japanese cars, it really comes down to maintenance, service, taking care of what you have, the preservation of the car, and not just thinking, oh, it's a Japanese car, reliability, I don't need to do much to it. You know, an RX-7, a GTR, a Supra is not a Toyota Camry where you can just run it, drive it forever, and then one day it dies and you get another one. It does take some maintenance. It does take some care to kind of, you know, extend the longevity of them, of these like actually high performance engines. I think what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, Nissan, Mazda, Toyota was putting these engines that they actually used for racing in these street cars. So you're getting essentially a race version of an engine, and you need to take care of it like it is exactly that.
Yeah. It's meant to run hours, not
right.
Yeah. Not, you know, days and years and months and those kind of things. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about racing school. I hear that you've gone to a racing school fairly recently. I've done a lot of them myself, and I learn so much every time I do it. But what was your experience?
Yeah, so obviously I wanted to kind of keep deepening my relationship with the Skyline GTR. And, you know, I did a restoration on one of my own, which was it was basically an abandoned car, and restored it to a really great street car. I took it to track one time and I got the bug, I think, as a lot of people do. So I decided I kind of wanted to start racing. So I started in some time attack stuff, and then obviously wanted to graduate into doing a more advanced level of racing. So what I was finding is that I needed a full competition license in order to participate in some of these races. I knew I wanted to do it in my own car, in my Skyline GTR. So what I did is I started building the Skyline GTR that I had restored into a full complete race car. And at the same time, working towards getting my license. I went with Radford Racing School, which was a great choice. It's very close to me. It's in Phoenix, so a really short flight to be able to get there. They also have an incredible partnership with Pennzoil, which I do as well. So kind of all worked out to be able to go there and do that. I went with my friend Larry Chen, who's a renowned photographer, but also has a huge love for driving and racing and Skyline GTRs. So it was really cool to be able to do that. I learned a lot immediately. Prior to going there, I'd spent a lot of time on track. I'd been going to any track day I could, been doing some time attack stuff. Basically, anything I didn't need a license for, I was doing on track. So I thought that I had a good understanding of what I was doing, and I learned very quickly when I got there from a lot of other instructors who have tons of experience that there were some habits I'd already picked up that weren't really good. There were things I was doing wrong, and there was definitely some car control and especially vision things that I needed to work on. They really helped me get through that. I, after that, entered a series, went out, started racing, and just huge improvements immediately. And I guess, depending on when this airs and comes out, it's already official. I've already gained enough points to do it, but actually ended up winning the championship this year in the series that I raced in, which was really, really cool. And the more time you take putting that off, the stronger those bad habits get. And that's one thing that, you know, I was really grateful that 2 years into me, you know, spending time on track, I was able to get out and get my racing license, because it didn't turn into a third year of me developing bad habits. And honestly, like, it's something that I wish I would have done maybe after that first track day and not let it go 2 years, because there are some things that, some habits I have that I'm still in the process of breaking that I'm continuing to work on. But I do really think and would strongly encourage, even if you don't want to race competitively and you want to go to a track day, go to a racing school. You know, there's things you're going to learn that you're going to be able to implement on day one. And if you do go to the point of being able to get your competition license and go into, you know, the areas that I'm going into, it only reinforces that and makes it easier.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I want to get into your relationship with Pennzoil and also your desire to drive at Nürburgring, which is a great place to drive, let me tell you. Haven't done that long, long time ago myself. Give us how you hooked up with Pennzoil.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I got an email after I was actually at Radford Racing School prior to me getting my license, but that was in, I think, 2020 or 2021. I got an email and they were like, "Hey, saw you were at Radford doing some stuff. It'd be great to work with you on some of the Japanese stuff." And honestly, I thought it was like a phishing email. I think it was real, because it's like, why is a brand like Pennzoil reaching out to me? But then that turned into a real thing, and it was really, really great to be able to build that relationship with them. The very first thing I did before anything was really test the product. Sent the oil out for, you know, some independent review. Part of what I do for my actual living is selling cars, sell Skyline GTRs and this kind of stuff to people. So when I recommend a product, I want to make sure that, like, I'm not recommending something that's going to be a poor decision for the car and the health of the car. And Pennzoil tested great. So I felt really comfortable recommending it. And I was like, let's see where this goes. And obviously, the history that Pennzoil has in motorsports in Japan with the R33 GTR and R34 GTR really fit well with what I was starting to do and where I wanted things to go. So it was a really, really cool partnership from that perspective. And
well, absolutely. And thanks so much for sharing all of this with us, Brian. We appreciate it. Brian Janish,
absolutely.
Car expert and GTR expert in particular. And, you know, much luck on your racing experiences going forward.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll have to follow that. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having
us. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Teague. We're so glad you're with us. Thanks so much for being with us on America on the Road. It's listener question time. We love to get your questions and comments. It's easy to get them to us. Send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And let's dive right into this question from Mike in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Where they cool brew old-style beer, or they used to, anyway. In any case, here is his question. My car ends up looking pretty shabby all winter. How can I protect my car's paint from harsh weather conditions? You probably run into that, Chris.
Yeah, I'm actually answering this question as my GR Corolla, which is black, sits in the driveway colored half brown and half gray from all the road salt. But one of the things that people do around here, I live in Maine, we have several car washes. They offer weekly subscription services. You get a cheap car wash every week and knock the salt and sand off of your car and keep going. I think that's a decent option. It's probably one of the cheaper options too. You know, it's like $30 a month or something like that to do that during the winter. One of the other things you could do is take your car to a detail shop and have them clean it and apply something like a ceramic coating to the vehicle. That won't stop the salt and sand from sticking to the car completely, but it will protect the paint underneath. I think one of the better things, and I do this too, is I just take my car to the car wash regularly, and I make sure that I get the underside very clean and get it done that way. I think otherwise you're just going to have to live with a little bit of dirtiness on your car most of the year.
Yeah, I think if you have a good coat of wax on there, and there are a lot of wax and wax substitute kind of products out there now that just do a terrific job, you put that as a base coat and then you keep the car as clean as you can through the winter. Well, that wraps up our show for this week. Before we go, I'd like to mention that as a late Christmas gift, I guess a New Year's gift for all our listeners, I'm giving away copies of The GR Factor, my book on interpersonal relationships. It's free. All you have to do is send an email to editor@drivingtoday.com, say you want to get the book, and we'll get it to you. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week. Let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And of course, America on the Road is also available as a podcast and on YouTube and Rumble, right, Chris?
Yeah, it's absolutely very easy to find. We're on all the major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the rest of them. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you. like us, please download us, leave us a review. All those things help us out big time, and you can take us with you wherever you go.
We'd love that. Thanks to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the road. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. We hope you'll continue to tune in throughout the new year, and please join us again right here for another edition of America on the Road.